Hey, Michael here. Welcome to the internet's number one podcast about doing case studies and examinations of business for sale. Me and Mills, and this is Michael, got together today and talked about a crazy deal, which is a bunch of oil wells for sale by a guy in New Jersey. So this was sent to us by a listener. We had a ton of fun talking about it. And got exposed each other, I guess, to a number of different things about the oil business and things we've seen around that market. So really had a ton of fun with this episode. And then Mills brought in a surprise deal that we talked about. So good times and enjoy the episode. This episode is sponsored by Acquisition Lab. Acquisition Lab, created by Walker Diebel, author of Buy Then Build, How to Outsmart the Startup Game, is an accelerator with a highly vetted cohort-based educational and support community for people serious about buying a business. After going through the lab's month-long intensive, you have ongoing access to almost daily Q&A sessions with advisors, regular live deal review forums with Walker, handpicked vendors for your deal team, and a very active Slack group with other searchers on this path. Our team personally understands how to buy a business and will help navigate all the complexities of the process, as well as provide a trusted framework, tools, and resources to support you from search to close. The Acquisition Lab recently celebrated its 70th business being acquired and well over $100 million in aggregate transaction value. The lab is here to stand by your side so you can take the right action at the right time and avoid wasting countless hours trying to go it alone. For more information, check out acquisitionlab.com. Link is in our show notes, or email the lab's director, Chelsea Wood, at chelsea@buythenbuild.com. Mills, you're still in Austin after all this time. I can't believe it's been three whole days. You're still there.
I know. It's amazing. I just like it.
You're wearing the same clothes too? Freaking amazing. All right. I got us a deal. It's a listener submitted. Do you want to read this one or should I read this one?
You might be able to see it better than I can because I can't pull it up very big, but I just love, my favorite part so far is that it says broker Bob. There's no last name. It's
Bob.
It's just Bob, the broker.
All right. Okay, so here's the listing. It's from businessbroker.net, and there's a case study in, the title is Own Absentee Run Oil Wells in Nevada for $200,000 plus per year. This location, however, is listed as Cincinnati, Ohio, Hamilton County. So here's the business overview. They're asking $230,000 for something that's going to do annual revenue of $800,000.
No, 8 million.
Do you want to pause there or are you throwing up quietly in your hand?
8 million is what it's saying.
8 million revenue, $230,000 asking price, and is listed under a category of e-commerce and retail websites. So it's a tremendous opportunity, Mills. To own 2% of two oil wells to be drilled in Nevada. The wells will be drilled next to the most successful oil well drilled in the last 60 years in the U.S. It produced over 4,000 barrels of oil per day over 7 years before production started declining. These two wells are in between properties that produced on one side over 22 million barrels of oil, on the other side just over 10 million barrels of oil. The men behind the 10 years of research on this project include a man considered to be the number one geologist in the country, who founded the Bakken oil fields in North Dakota. Another is considered to be the number one oil man of all time in Texas. The potential returns on this project are absolutely huge. All incredibly extensive research has everyone involved very confident that these two wells should produce at least the same 4,000 barrels per day, if not more. They are absolutely convinced Nevada has more oil than Kuwait, plus the underground composition in Nevada is found in only one other area of the world, the Middle East. Should the two wells combine to produce 1,000 barrels per day, each using an average oil price of $90, a 2% owner would make approximately $450,000 per year. The numbers are big and they are real. Should the two wells combine for anything close to 4,000 barrels per day, the nearby well produced for 7 years, you are looking at life-changing money. As oil prices go higher, I am convinced we will hit $150 in 2023 per barrel. Your monthly check gets larger. I have a ton of info, plus you can visit the well site. Bob, and then here's Bob's phone number. The property is leased. The owner is willing to. This is not a franchise resale opportunity. Let me make sure. Year established is 2017. Two employees, cash flow. Yeah. And then the broker's name is Bob, and that's his phone number. So, Mills, do you want to own some oil wells that have not yet been drilled in Nevada?
I just love that he says these numbers are big and they are real. But they're not real. Like nothing has actually happened. No oil has come out of the ground for these wells. It's a blue sky kind of thing. I don't know enough about the oil business, and you're in Texas. So you know, you have a lot more to probably say about this just by, you know, by being close to it. But, when I was at Permanent Equity, Brent told the story about a guy from Texas who said, if you ever see an oil deal, right, whether it, you know, it's Texas or Nevada or the Southwest, anywhere, if you're seeing it, I've already passed on it twice. And
yeah,
this is just like textbook, right? Why in the world do these guys need this money? If the deal is so good, why do they need $230,000 for 2% of the rights?
No idea. And it's not like it's a lot of money. Like it's like 230 grand. Like, okay, that's a lot of money, but it's also not a lot of money in the grand scheme of the oil fields. You know, and it's interesting. You see guys like this, and a lot of them made a lot of money for a long time. And I used to get phone calls from guys like this in San Antonio. And it would be like, hey, Michael, you know, we got an oil well. We're drilling down in the Eagle Ford Shale, or we're drilling in Midland. Do you want to invest in this thing? And here's our study, and here's all this kind of stuff. And I'd be like, I don't know anything about that. I sell fireworks. So I kind of would ignore it. But yeah, and they would all talk like this, and they would talk in all caps. That's basically how it worked.
For those of you who are not on YouTube following along, there's a lot of all caps in this listing. If you probably could guess that. I just, you know, you got to look at this and say, okay, they must need the money because they're trying to bring this to fruition. They say they've been working on it 10 plus years. That's not a good sign, but maybe that's how long it takes to research and permit and lease the land and drill the well and all that kind of stuff. But my guess is that they're saying, hey, look, we've been working on this 10 years. We've self-funded, or we've gotten investors, and we just need this $230,000 to get it across the finish line. And have you ever heard that story before? It does not always pan out. This might not be the last money they need. And, you know, it hasn't been drilled. There's no well yet. They're just, you know, predicating this on some future potential. There's no actual revenue. There's no actual cash flow. It's just pro forma. All that being said, plenty of people have made gobs and gobs of money doing things like this. I just don't think that if it's that good of a deal, that it's going to make its way onto my desk.
I mean, like our previous episode where I was making fun of New Jersey, this guy's area code is New Jersey.
It's like, it's so weird. It's in Nevada. It lists Ohio, and he has a New Jersey area code. What's actually happening here?
Craziness is evidently what's happening. Like, and I love this line where the guy's like, I have the number one oil man in Texas, the number one guy, the guy who founded the Bakken oil fields.
That guy doesn't.
So he was there when the dinosaurs.
$30,000. I'm telling you.
He was the guy who was there when the dinosaurs died and got covered up by rocks and then compressed into petroleum, was there and created the Bakken oil. Like the way this is written is funny. But then they are absolutely convinced Nevada has more oil than Kuwait. So you're telling me Exxon, ConocoPhillips, BP, oil giant number 5, 7, all those people in Houston have been flying to Las Vegas for 70 years and not realize that there's massive oils underneath the desert there. I mean, I'm flabbergasted, flummoxed, shocked.
This would be a good episode to have somebody on who really knows what they're talking about, because we just make this up as we go. But I think this is the kind of thing that an expert could poke holes in, right? But they could also educate the heck out of us on about why and how like this scheme works, because this scheme has been happening for a long time. Like I'm really far from it in South Carolina, but people in South Carolina get calls, and it's people saying, hey, do you want to own a fraction of an oil well? And it's kind of like the lottery is my impression of it. Like they could tap the well, and all of a sudden, like, nothing comes out, and you know, you're SOL. But you could, you know, hit a home run, and all of a sudden, like, you've made it back, you know, in 20-fold. But this is such an interesting it's an insider's game. But to me, the reason they go to the outsiders, right, is because they can turn the tables, you know, and the information asymmetry works in the expert, you know, in their favor. There's that saying that, you know, when a man with experience meets a man with money. Have you heard the saying, Michael?
No, no, go ahead.
When a man with experience meets a man with money, the man with the experience leaves with the money and the man with the money leaves with experience.
Oh, man. That's depressing. Is this from Twitter?
No, no. This is like, you know, an old truism that some, you know, gritty Southerner told me. But right, like if you have money and don't have experience, if you're going up against somebody who has experience, you're going to walk away having learned something and they're going to walk away with your money. It's how it most often happens.
Well, I mean, look, hopefully you run into people that have your best, are playing a long-term game, right? Yes. So they'll set up things where it's a win-win, right? Like that's how I think we've set up this podcast. It's a win-win for everybody. I'm still waiting for the winning to happen, but when there's a win that happens, we're going to all win together.
We're going to high five.
We're going to high five together when we get there. But no, I mean, on the good news on this podcast, you know, Mirko left us and good luck to him on his next thing, but we're making an offer today on the next victim. So hopefully we'll have somebody in here that's better than me to admin our podcast and sell ads and stuff like that. So anyway, where was I on this stuff? Oh, okay. So, I mean, I think there's definitely like the meta here of this is there's like a very teachable moment, which is like, as you're trying to figure out what to work on in life and what deals to do, like there's two things that have to happen. Number one, you like have to go look at a lot of stuff, but in order to look at a lot of stuff efficiently, and be able to go through and uncover a lot of rocks and be like, okay, is that bug going to bite me? Oh no. Do I want to own that? You know, like you have to get very good at like filtering stuff very quickly and pattern matching here. And this is one of those things whereby reading it and pattern matching it and just knowing like, hey, you know what? I've read the Wall Street Journal for 10 years and, nobody has mentioned oil finds in Nevada. Like you can start to kind of pattern match that thing and realize, oh, this is just something that's going to be either too hard or is a scam. Frankly, it just looks like a scam to me.
Yeah. It's speculative. It's totally speculative.
Totally speculative. By the way, I do have friends that have invested in these kind of deals. And like they've sometimes they'll be like, I made a shit ton of money. And then other times they're like, I lost everything. And it's mostly I lost everything.
Yeah. I had an old client who would do it. You know, he would get these phone calls and he had run a really successful business and had liquidity and his phone would ring. And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that it's, you know, it's cool and it's sexy to be a part of. Like you can bring it up at a party and be like, yeah, you know, and it's like in his case, you know, I think he probably did 10 and one or two of them were half decent and the others like were just dry wells, you know, but you still got to spend the money and he still has all that sunk cost and he lost the investment.
It is the same thing with venture capital. Mm-hmm. Like you go look at a venture capital portfolio, it's perfectly normal. You have to, you know, that's why when I tell friends, like if you're going to go do like angel investing in potential high growth companies, you have to do 35 to 40 of them until you have a pretty good idea that you fit the mean. Mm-hmm. Like you can't do 5 or 10. So I have friends that'll come out and they'll do stuff like this, right? Where it's like very speculative stuff. Now I would not recommend this one because it has all the hallmarks of smelling like a scam. But like if you are going to go invest in a very highly speculative asset class, like don't go out and put, you know, if you have a $500,000 budget to it, don't go out and put all $500,000 in 3 deals. You'll hear them. They'll be like, I lost all my money. I'm like, you're supposed to, like, mm-hmm. That's called variance. That's the way that works. But if you're going to invest $500,000, like go put $25,000 in 20 deals, right? Or $50,000 or $10,000 in 50 deals. You'd be much better off doing that. And you'll see a much better expectation of return. Whereas when you have that high variance but low sample size, like you're screwed. Like you're in big trouble.
Well, and to your point, right? Up market, that's what VC firms do. You know, they kind of know that just from a statistical standpoint, that's going to be what it is. What people tell themselves is, you know, oh, like I'm so lucky. I have this opportunity, you know, and maybe it'll be different for me than it is for the experts. You
know? 100%. 100%. So I do have a very wealthy friend that made all of his money in the oil business like this, the wildcatting business. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with him once.
What is wildcatting, Michael? I've heard that term.
Wildcatting is like these people that go do a bunch of speculation like this, right? Where you're like wildcatting, like searching to try to hit the next thing. Because the way the economics work on wells, right? Like you have a big fixed cost and then unfixed upside, you know, uncapped upside basically. So let's say go just hypothetically, you spend $2 million to go drill a new well. Okay. And you do all the kind of the fracking stuff and the horizontal drilling, all and maybe that number is ridiculously low, but just say you spend $2 million to drill a well, for example. You could make $0 on it, or you could make $100 million on it, or you could make $1 billion on it. Like, you just don't know. And so wildcatting is kind of this like going out and doing a lot of speculative kind of gambling, but by drilling holes in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
So this guy made his fortune through this stuff. And so not only was he dealing with drilling individual wells and like putting together projects and all that kind of stuff and trying to make money out of them, right? Where there's this wager and it could turn you zero or it could get you 50 times on your money. Mm-hmm. Not only would he do that, but he'd also have to survive the vagaries of the oil prices, right? Which is like, if you're interested and you want to do something fun at some point, you can go subscribe to these services that show you all the bankruptcies in your state. Mm-hmm. And it's really fascinating in Texas. Like, I was in there and I paid like $5,000 for the service. And I'm like in there looking at all the bankruptcies. And I'm like, these are all oil companies. Like it's just like bankruptcy city. Mm-hmm. And it's, so I talked to this guy who had done that as a career, and like, they will vacillate between owning $5 million ranches and selling their personal home. Mm-hmm. And that's how it goes. Boom, this wildcattery kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it is the boom or bust and then magnified on a personal scale. And so you'll hear about these guys who grew up that way and or their parents grew up that way. And they're like, yeah, I remember we had a private jet. And then I remember selling our house. Like, and mm-hmm. that'll happen like three times in their teenage years. It was just like, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah. These numbers are crazy, right? Like what they're proposing is like $131 million a year in revenue from this one well. You know, like I think those numbers are probably like realistic. That can happen. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, just pure math on the barrels per day. But it tells you, right, if the upside is that big, that there's got to be, you know, massive risk around whether or not it actually hits and you're in the money, or, you know, you got a dry well.
It's totally a fascinating deal. I had another funny story about oil stuff I wanted to share. I did tell you guys about my buddy who went to go work in the oil fields. Uh-huh. He worked on an oil drilling rig. Were you there for that? I don't know about that. So my buddy decided to go earn some extra money in the oil fields. By the way, they'll pay you like $10,000 to be there for like 2 weeks because it's horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, to clean things in these oil rigs. Do you know how they clean things in oil rigs when there's oil everywhere?
Put gasoline on it, right?
Diesel. They have giant spray guns full of diesel. Then the other thing he talked about is, you know, you're out in the middle of nowhere, so it could be below freezing and you have to have water trucked in. So he said one time, one of the guys who was an ex-con, like, they'll go hire. It's so hard to hire for these jobs that you take people straight out of prison. And he said that one time, the water gets delivered in these giant like plastic canisters, right? Which is like a good thing. You just put it outside. And then when you take a shower or drink, you do that. Of course, you're covered with diesel and oil sludge. So you're trying to get that off all the time. And he said that, so because it was so cold, they decided to take the water things so they wouldn't freeze, and they put them in the shed. And they took one of those like Canon, like propane heaters and left it on all night. And they left it on all night, and it proceeded to melt the plastic containers that the water was in, which then caused the propane heater to malfunction and all the water caught on fire. Like, that's how messed up his whole situation was. Like, they caught their water on fire because they made it too hot. Like, it was just like
Wild West, you know.
But he came back after doing three or four sessions, and he's like, number one, Girdley, nobody understands the impact of the oil thing. Like, nobody understands what's going on out there in these oil fields. Nobody gets it. It's just kind of like the border. Like, everybody that talks about the border has never gone down to the border, like of the US. Like, he's like, nobody understands this. And he's like, also, I think we need to ban oil. Like, as he came back, he's like, this is so bad for the planet. We have to get rid of this.
Man. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and most people just have no clue. Like, everything you and I are doing within like 10 feet of us, oil is involved in every part of it. Like, life, you can get rid of it if you want, but life is going to grind to a halt. Everything you eat, everything you do, there is petroleum in it in some regards. Your food is fertilized with petroleum. Your car runs on petroleum. Your tires are made from petroleum. This cup is made from petroleum. The coffee that came into it from Costa Rica, petroleum was involved in every step to get it here, including killing the bugs that were going to eat it. Like, it is all part of the deal.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a girly rant about petroleum. People just don't understand how pervasive it is in your whole life.
Michael, I've never really been on this website, businessbroker.net. Is this one that I'm not super familiar with it, but do you look at it on a regular basis?
No, I think it's an aggregator. Let me look here. I'll click on it and see what they do. The fact they have financing involved. Uh-huh. Oh, there's another one here for sale. Oh, it's also Bob. Freaking Bob.
Bob's in here pitching his oil wells. Bob.
Car wash for sale. Yeah, I don't know. This is just this. These guys make these websites, and they just look so scammy.
Yeah.
They just look so scammy. And then, oh, here, British Swim School franchise. You can buy a British Swim School franchise from these guys. I think eventually you enter where Biz Buy Sell is, which is just you have business listings that you charge a little bit for, but you're really selling scammy franchises.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, wow. And then this is the other thing. I just pulled up their listing for British Swim School, certified by Entrepreneur Magazine. Basically, if the word Forbes or Entrepreneur Magazine is associated to anything, you can just assume they paid for that certification.
Yes. Yes.
That's basically the way that works. Forbes and Entrepreneur Magazine are just like, I remember, did you ever read Entrepreneur Magazine thinking it was actually for entrepreneurs?
Yeah, and then you realize it has nothing to do with it.
It turns out it's actually just a pamphlet to try to sell you scammy franchises. I was like, oh, cool, a magazine for me. Nope, not for me. That was not for me. All right, so
we need to poke around on this website one day and find some other deals to talk about. It looks like there's probably some diamonds in the rough, you know, in between all the franchise stuff. There's probably something worth talking about.
1,000,000%. I mean, I think at the very least you can spend time on here and see some of the stuff that's getting pitched to people. And it's just so, so bad. And I guarantee you, when you look at the docs on all of this, it's heads I win, tails you lose for Bob. Mm-hmm. That's just the way these promoters, that's the way it works. And you'll get on the, maybe it would be a good thing to do just for one episode. We should have a phone call with Bob and record it.
That would be cool.
Bob should is the episode.
That would be really cool.
Just so
you'd be hey, like, Bob, okay, we're going to record you, you know, for this. Are you open to it? I bet he would.
Bob, we're excited about promoting your thing to all of our listeners. And then just let Bob go. It's not like we would need to ask Bob any bad questions. You would just hear what Bob tells you and go from there. And I took some of the calls once because I was just interested in how the people would kind of sell it, but they don't actually show you anything. When you talk to these people, they don't actually show you anything that's a proof point that it's going to work.
Yeah.
They show you somewhat correlated signs like this. This guy created the Bakken oil fields. This one is considered the number one oil man in all of Texas. So, I mean, and you have to ask the question. By the way, I get asked this question about my course. They're like, why are you selling a course if you like are successful in business? I'm like, well, I don't actually have to sell a course. I just do it so I can afford staff, so I don't have to do any work. But anyway, if you're considered to be the number one oil man of all time in Texas, why do you need $200,000 from me?
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. If Kuwait, Nevada has more oil than Kuwait, why are there no oil rigs now? And then why is the one next door going dry? So you click on the next one, you go open a British swim school. That's how it works.
Did you see the listing I sent you in the chat? This is one I think we need to do next time. It's
where's the chat? Okay, here we go.
Hardware and software networking and encryption solutions business. This is one we really need to do next time. It's like printed circuit boards, but they have one client in the Department of Defense.
Man, I've looked at some businesses like this. I looked at one that was probably 10 times... No, it was like 20 times the size in terms of revenue. They only have one client in the Department of Defense who represents around 80% of revenue. This client acts as a vendor to many other companies such as Lockheed. This is one of those ones where you have to like it because a lot of people are going to walk away from it when you have one client.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think the interesting thing about that is sometimes people look at a one client business and walk away and think you have 100% customer concentration, but they forget to think about why customer concentration is bad. And like the why of customer concentration being bad is you're not sure the revenue is going to last and you're going to continue to have a business. Mm-hmm. But you can, it's okay to have one client if you can prove that that one client is going to keep paying, or you feel very confident that one client is going to keep paying ad infinitum. And this business has the Lindy thing going on, which is this client's been paying for 20 years and they've built some stuff on it that is very dependent upon you. Mm-hmm. So there's something to be said for knowing when to break your rules. Have you heard that idea that like beginners don't know the rules, intermediates know the rules, experts know when to break the rules? Such a great quote. Cool.
That is good.
So maybe I just like backdoor complimented myself, which thank you. Thank you to all my people.
I think this would be a good one to do next episode.
I don't know. Did I just do it?
Yeah, you kind of did. That's it. That's it. They want 3.9 times. They'll probably get it.
Yeah. I mean, and look, here's the nice thing about looking into a business like this, like with one customer and 100% customer concentration. It's pretty easy to do your customer diligence. Mm-hmm. Just call and be like, okay, how do I know you're going to keep paying?
Yep.
Go from there.
There are some great like one customer businesses. Looked at a business that their one customer was Disney, and they did painting for them. They like painted the rides.
You know?
Like they've been doing it for 20 years. Could it go away? Yes, but you just got to structure the deal the right way. And you know, it's probably not going to change, but
yeah, we've looked at some pretty fascinating, like, I mean, I think that's a good thing. Like you find like a general horizontal kind of thing, but then you just find that they own a niche, right? And mm-hmm. you're just like, okay, I'm just going after that niche. And like, we've looked at it with the graffiti painting guys. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about one of my buddies has the largest contractor in his city that only does traffic signals. Mm-hmm. Like if there's a traffic signal job, like they've got everything you need. That's all they do. You just call them and they say, here's how much it costs, and you show up.
Well, and certain things lend themselves. Yeah. Certain things lend themselves to customer concentration, like anything that's aerospace or automotive related. There's just not that many customers out there, right? There's not that many manufacturers. I was talking to a guy the other day, a business owner that it was a printing company, and like not like the typical like sign, you know, quick print kind of places that are franchised, but they did a really specific type of sticker that goes on gas pumps. And, you know, there's only so many people who own and operate gas stations, and there's not thousands of them. You're going to have customer concentration. But what they did to just massively grow the business is started selling other stuff to gas stations, right? They now sell the credit card readers and the pump handles and like components that go in the actual gas pump. But, you know, they just had the relationship and said, hey, what else do you need? What else can we supply for you? And, you know, 10x the business that way, from, you know, the stickers and logos all the way, you know, to the whole shebang.
Yeah, 100%. Cool. All right, man. Well, I think we're out of time. This is a great 100%. Episode. Thanks for, we did like a deal and a half.
We did. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. I'll still put the oil thing in there. It gets the people going. Yeah, exactly. It gets the people going. All right. So ask for today. If you've listened this far, the content is not free. There is an ask here that we have for you, which is please take your favorite episode that you've listened to from us. Think of your number one friend who should be listening to the podcast and learning from it, and send them a link to the episode and say, do me a favor, listen to this because the ball guy asked me to do it. And like, that's the thing. The content is free, but there is an ask of you. Send it to one friend, tell them to subscribe, go on all your devices and subscribe, and share it with a friend who you think would love it. That's how podcasts get shared more than anything, is word of mouth. So do us a solid, and we'll see you next week.